Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Do you get a little uneasy when we come to the story of the doubting Thomas? I do. You want to know why? Well, what do we know about that first day, the day of the resurrection? John reports that some women who were followers of Jesus went to prepare prepare the body of Jesus, who had been hastily thrown into the tomb. And when they got there, the tomb was already open. The linens that were wrapped around the body of Jesus were neatly folded, laying beside the place where he was laid. Mary Magdalene runs to tell Peter and John, as we heard last week. And they raced back to the tomb to see that it was empty. Staying behind after everyone left, Mary Magdalene alone heard, saw, and held Jesus in her arms. Well, the news obviously got out. But we find the disciples that same evening, the day of the resurrection, huddled together behind locked doors because they had no idea what to think or do. And that evening, Jesus appeared to his disciples. But there was one missing. Where was Thomas? Now, we don't know if Thomas just decided to risk it and go out and get some fresh air in the quietness of the night. We don't even know how long he was gone. He could have been away for 15 minutes or so to go get a bottle of wine at the local liquor store. Obviously, they needed a drink after a day like that. Here's the troubling thing for me. Jesus knew that Thomas would not be among them when he came to them on that first evening of the resurrection. No doubt Thomas had heard the news from Mary Magdalene, who claimed to have seen Jesus. And he heard also from Peter and John, who saw the empty tomb. But for some unknown reason, Thomas was not with the disciples that night. But it was on that very night, when Thomas was away, that Jesus came through those locked doors and showed himself to all the other disciples. After the Lord had departed, who knows when, Thomas returns. And his fellow disciples excitedly tell him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Don't you hate being the last one to know something? Now here's the rub. Jesus did not appear again to the disciples for 8 days. 8 days. Do you wonder what it was like for Thomas waiting through that long, torturous week? And what were the others talking about? They were convinced that they had seen Jesus, but then there's this guy hanging around them who has set down his requirements in order to believe. "I gotta see it, guys, before I can believe it." Now, we don't know what the other disciples were doing during those silent 8 days, but I can guess with about 99% certainty. Yeah, maybe less. Somewhere around 99%. They were sitting around talking about the past 3 years of Jesus' ministry, his teaching, his preaching, and his incredible miracles. Now, I don't think they had any scrolls handy in this room, but they were recalling those Old Testament passages that Jesus had brought to their attention during his ministry and how his life was the fulfillment of those Old Testament passages. And now, because 8 days later, Thomas was with them, no doubt he had been listening himself, recalling those same Old Testament scriptures and reviewing them in the light of Jesus' life. Treasured and beloved confirmants, you cannot escape the word of the Lord that has been taught to you by your parents, your Sunday school teachers, by seminarian Matt Martin. And thank God for that. Let me refer to another Old Testament passage. Isaiah 55:11 says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is powerful. My young brothers and sisters, doubt has a way of working in its way into our minds, just as it did for Thomas. Our 8 days of waiting for Jesus to do something, to convince us that he is still alive and still working to bring about the salvation of the world, can seem like an eternity. But he has given us, and he has given you, his word, the scriptures. And his word will accomplish his purposes, and they will succeed in the thing for which he sent it. Having said that, there will be days that you feel like doubting Thomas during those 8 somber days, having missed the Lord's first appearance after the resurrection. And when others around you seem so convinced of God's presence, you might even feel a little hurt not having that assurance, feeling like everyone else has had an experience that you missed. So here we are, 8 days after the celebration of the Lord's resurrection. And while others may still carry that joy in their hearts, you might not just be feeling it. What was it like for Thomas to be the last to know that Jesus truly was alive? That he had actually risen from the dead? And it wasn't as if Thomas didn't believe and say, "Hey guys, I'm done with this Jesus and his church." No. He stuck around. Now, you know that Jesus wasn't real good at giving specific timetable or a schedule of his appearances. He did say that he was going to meet them in Galilee a little bit later. But listen up. Because Jesus sensed some urgency with Thomas, he acted. He did something extraordinary just for Thomas. 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and this time Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, just like the first week, Jesus came again, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas and he says, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." So the man that we like to judgmentally call doubting Thomas then utters one of the clearest and boldest statements of faith in the New Testament when he says, "My Lord and my God." Jesus understood Thomas's doubting just as he does yours and mine. And as he did with Thomas, making a very special concession to overcome his doubt in order to lead him to faith and trust, Jesus gave Thomas the extraordinary privilege of placing his hand in Jesus' side and touching the wounds of the nails in his hands. And then Jesus says to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You and I will probably not have that same invitation given to Thomas from the risen Christ. But we are among those who have not yet seen but believe, because we have the Word of God, which has not returned to us empty or returned to God empty. Those words will be accomplished for God's purposes, and they will succeed for you. Now, I'm sure that all the other disciples were a bit relieved that Thomas had been given this special day of confirmation, I think we can call it. While sources of his ministry after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus are a little bit unreliable, it is important for us to note that St. Thomas today is still venerated as the apostle to India. In fact, there exists a population of Christians along the Malabar coast of India who lay claim to conversion by St. Thomas. Their tradition holds that he built 7 churches, was martyred during a prayer by a spear on the big hill near Madras, and was buried in Mylapore on the east coast of India. Ultimately, St. Thomas's remains were transported to Ortona, Italy, where they survive today, or reside today. So, Grayson, Sam, Paul, Maddie, and Olivia, confirmation may feel just like a class to attend and pass, to make your parents happy, right? You've been listening and sitting at the feet of Jesus, not Matt. He has been the Lord's mouthpiece to you. Confirmation is the Lord's special concession for you, each one of you. As you studied the Christian faith and read the Word, God was able to allow you to touch Jesus. He used the story of Thomas so that your hands could touch the nail prints in his hand, so that your hands could be thrust into the spear hole in Jesus' chest. Today, you and I, all of us, will taste and touch in bread and wine the very true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for the forgiveness of all your sins. It is another privileged opportunity for us to touch the Master. Through the Word of God, and through the sacrament of the altar, your faith will be renewed, and your testimony will become like Thomas's, who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declared, "My Lord and my God." That's how Jesus overcame Thomas's doubt, and that's how he'll do it for you. In Jesus' name, amen.